Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lots of promising news this week about vaccine research moving at record speed with the hope of inoculating everybody against COVID infections. But before you get your hopes up about a vaccine, we offer a dose of cold, hard reality. The virus, it may not care about the shot you get. Dr. Warner Green is director and senior investigator at the Gladstone Institute of Virology in San Francisco. So, doctor, here's the stories that we're seeing, and I'm sure you've seen them too. The antibodies that you get after infection, they don't last very long. They stick around maybe for weeks to a few months. So that being said, if we all get shots, if they're available, does that mean our immunity only lasts for a few months? And then what good is that?
Not necessarily. We're not quite sure exactly what the short half-life of these antibodies means in terms of a vaccine. So it turns out that this particular virus disables the interferon system. That's one way that it survives. And that same interferon system is necessary for producing these long-lived B cells that ultimately give rise to the long-lasting antibodies. So it's possible that what we're seeing in recovering patients may not be recapitulated in a vaccine. Maybe a vaccine is going to be better than the natural immunity that we're seeing in COVID-19 patients who've recovered. That, fingers crossed that that might happen.
All right, but even if it's better, is your best educated guess that it still wouldn't be the kind of shot you would get, you know, one time done? You would have to probably get it at least yearly, like the flu shot?
It all depends upon what type of these long-lived memory B cells that we get, how long-lived they are. I would predict that probably this is not going to be like a measles vaccine or a polio vaccine that lasts your entire life. I suspect that there may be some need for re-immunization, but let's hope it's not on an annual basis, as is the case with influenza.
Okay, you can just maybe get boosters later on as you move on through, hopefully.
Yes.
Remind me how it works. When I get something, I build up antibodies to it because it's fighting the bug, and then I'm protected for a while. If those do eventually go away, and then I'm re-exposed to the virus, does my body still remember how to make them quickly, and will that mean I get less of a case, or does it just forget once they're gone?
Absolutely. Those are the long-lived memory cells that rally the immune response in a very rapid manner, and that's really what we want in a vaccine. We don't anticipate creating a state of constant the ability to fight the infection at the mucosal surface continuously. Vaccines don't prevent the infection, they prevent the disease. So a vaccine would rally these, would allow these B cells to now come to play and prevent the virus from spreading into the lungs, and people would have either no illness or a very mild illness.
How many people, though, would have to get vaccinated, and in what period of time, for a successful vaccine or vaccines to really make a dent?
Right. So now we're talking about herd immunity. How many people in the population need to have immunity to the virus, allowing some who don't have that immunity, who decline the vaccine or for one reason or another, to hide within the herd? So the minimum number of people positive would be 60% for herd immunity to have an effect. Better if it's higher than that. I'd like to see vaccines that are creating good responses in 80 or 90% of the vaccinated population, for sure.
Well, we work on this, and if we do have worries, even if they're just in the back of mind about efficacy of the vaccine, antibody response, that kind of thing, does that also just emphasize the search for a good treatment, something that if you get this, you can go to the doctor, they'll give you something to take, and you can ride it out at home?
Yes, therapeutics and vaccines work hand in hand, and we will have a continuing need for highly active therapies even after a vaccine is created and deployed.
Quick question, and I need a quick answer, unfortunately, because we're running out of time. What would be, in your guess, sooner, a successful vaccine or an arsenal of successful therapeutics?
I think there are many poised therapeutics. I think we're going to hear a lot about the use of interferons as a new therapeutic in this disease. But the vaccine programs are running at light speed.
Dr. Warner Green, Director and Senior Investigator, Gladstone Institute of Virology in San Francisco.